Let us go down to Los Angeles and bring in a good friend of ours. He's a senior writer for MLB.com. He's an author as well. He is in Dodger Stadium today, and that is Barry Bloom. Barry, nice to have you with us.
Good morning, Marty.
Yeah, good morning to you. Well, you got to see quite a game last night, and of course the Dodgers are one game behind the Giants. You saw Puig, soccer-style, kick a ball into the outfield seats. I saw that. Saw Kemp throw a ball halfway to the first base dugout, and a tying run scored. And then you saw Hanley Ramirez show why he's Hanley Ramirez.
Yeah, I mean, really, of all of it, you know, you get the Dodgers committing two outfield errors in the ninth inning. A ball Ethier should have caught at the wall was kind of shoulder high. That turned into a triple. Hanley runs through a stop sign when he scores the winning run. And when I asked Mattingly about it, he says, yeah, that's the way we teach it, you know, kind of joking. And I thought it was a great line. And the Dodgers still come up winning the game. But I just think that this is the best I've seen Hanley play in several years. And he says it's the best he's felt since 2009. And really, that's the key to the whole thing with getting the Dodgers going at this point, is that you have that guy in the middle of the lineup. You have Puig right above him. You don't know what he's a raw talent. He's kind of like Cespedes. You know, he's a powdered keg. So, you know, really what it marginalizes Kemp and Ethier, and Crawford's coming back. So, really, the Dodgers right now, you go around the starting lineup, they've really got enough punch to really win some games, despite the fact that they don't have a great pitching staff at this point.
Boy, interesting. You know, we teased you. You know, we always have lunch in Arizona before the season starts, and we make our predictions. And you did pick the Padres, and I must tell you, I'm impressed. What did you know about the Padres?
Well, I just thought that the second half of last season, after they reshuffled the team, I thought Josh Burns there did a great job with that on the fly. And I just thought they were really one player, one pitcher away from really being a contender. And they really didn't go out and spend the money and sign that pitcher. It kind of baffled me in the offseason that their major signing was re-upping Marquis for $3 million. But Marquis is something like 9-3, and he's turned out to be a godsend for them during the first half of the season. And then, you know, they opened up 5-15, but Hadley was out for the first 2 weeks or 2.5 weeks of the season, recovering from the spring training thumb injury. And then by that time, Quinton had his spat with Greinke, and he was out for 8 games, suspended for 8 games. So it took them a while to get their regular lineup together. And then also getting Grandel back later on from the suspension. I mean, they were essentially a team waiting to get together, but had so many holes at the start of the season, were missing so many component parts that it was going to take a while for them to get going. And they just have. It really is amazing to me that, you know, Marquis, Stoltz, and
Cashner,
Cashner really have solidified the starting rotation. And they always have a good bullpen because that's the way they work down there.
Wow. Barry Bloom with us from MLB.com. He's down at Dodger Stadium today. You also, of course, you live in Arizona, where I live in the off season. You get to see a lot of Diamondback games. And I think more of the most amazing stat, first, they're still in first place. Secondly, they haven't had a win from a starting pitcher since June the 5th, and they haven't lost any ground in the standings. I find that amazing.
Yeah, it's kind of funny because talking with Gaby about this during the last homestand, first month of the season when Pooch went down with the elbow injury and the bullpen was blowing games and they had a league-high blown games, it was all about how bad the bullpen was. Then Pooch went out, Belt went into the closer role. As shaky as he might have been, he saved 13 out of 15 games. And so, you know, that solidified. And then the starting rotation started to fall apart, which really starts with Kennedy, where Kennedy has not been the pitcher he was even remotely from 2 years ago. And Cahill has been decent once every 4 times around, maybe. And Hudson, obviously, they were counting on him to come back from Tommy John. And now he's had another Tommy John, so he's gone. it's really been much like the Dodgers, where you thought that they had so much depth at starting pitching with the kids in the minor leagues and the people coming back and the guys in the major league roster. You thought this was going to be one of their strengths. But because of injuries and lack of performance, it's tested the depth of the rotation, and it's also tested the depth of the rotation in Los Angeles. It's been the same thing.
Well, amazing. I always say whoever pitches the best ends up winning it. Now, this is game 81 today for the Giants. They're in the midst of this losing streak, and Kane pitched a great game yesterday. Bumgarner goes today. I'm going to give you a second chance to pick the winner of the National League West. I'm going to give you a second chance. Now, you know, we're not at lunch at Don and Charlie's or the Italian Grotto. You know, you're at Dodger Stadium, probably having a Dodger dog now. But I'm going to give you a second chance.
I don't need Dodger dogs.
Oh, good for you. I'm going to give you a second chance to pick the winner of the National League West. Barry Bloom, who do you pick?
All right, well, this is, you know, this second chance is, I went on the radio in San Diego during the offseason that picked the Padres. Because why not?
Right.
I mean, like, I'm always wrong, so I might as well pick the craziest team. Then, you know, we sat down, we had our hot stove, and we went around the table, and I picked the Padres. Now, by the end of spring training, if you remember, I wrote a column basically saying that nothing I've seen in spring training changes the fact that this is a division that's the Giants to win or lose. I still think the division is the Giants to win or lose. It's a long season. You know, the best teams are going to have down periods. The worst teams are going to have their winning streaks. You're getting the converse of that right now, where you have essentially a Dodger team that is really terrible defensively and fundamentally, but has enough star power, I think, to carry them along. But they would be 15 games out right now in a lot of the other divisions. Only the fact that this division is so crazy has the Dodgers been able to maintain. So, to me, the Dodgers, Giants are always a late-blooming team. In 2010, they didn't get it going. And as you remember, you know, the Padres had a 10-game losing streak, August to early September. That's when the Giants climbed back into it, went by the Padres, and won the division title on the last day of the season. Last year, they could have been eliminated in both the first and second round of the postseason, and they came back from the depths and won. This is the kind of team the Giants are. Plus, with a veteran team, with a core, and especially a young veteran team, you look at it and go, it's June. How are you going to get it together in the first half of the season for this concerted run? If they're healthy in September, the Giants are going to win the division.
All right. I like it. All right. So that's why we do this at the halfway point. I like it. Very good. What brought you to L.A. today? Why'd you end up in L.A.? I know you go to you're all over the map in baseball. Why L.A. today?
Well, the Diamondbacks are on a long 10-game road trip, and you know, the Padres, I think, are in Miami.
Right.
This was the closest live game the last couple of days. I had to come to talk to Ryan Sandberg about a few things, and it was just a natural to get over here. I'd like to see all the teams, especially the teams in the West, as much as I can. I hadn't seen the Dodgers live in a while. They'll be back out in Arizona at the tail end of their next road trip, right before the All-Star break. And now I'm going to New York for the All-Star game, and I'll be back east for most of July and mid-August.
You do more traveling than Art Spander, let me tell you. You do.
Yeah,
Art is all right. Let me ask you this. You're a traveler. I know that. Yasiel Puig, all-star or not?
No, this is the same thing as, you know, we went through with Steven Strasburg a couple of years ago. Guys who come up in June and have a great month of June are not all-stars. You know, they're rookies, they're going to get passed over, and they should be passed over. It's kind of like,
Passover.
You know, we had the stupidity, you know, in the NBA the first year where they decided not to put LeBron James on the All-Star team and made him play in the rookie sophomore game that year.
Uh-huh.
You know, that was kind of stupid because he played the whole season. But in these guys' cases, if Puig had been up from day one and he'd been playing this way, sure. But I don't think you're going to unseed anybody or give a spot away from Puig at this point because of what he's done over the course of a few weeks.
All right. Hey, always great to have you on. I love talking ball with you. I miss you, and I appreciate you jumping on with us this morning. And I guess we've got Kendrick and Fife in that game down there. And believe me, we're this whole division, we're watching everything now.
Yeah, well, and the fact that Fife is pitching for the Dodgers today tells you all you need to know.
Okay. Barry, thank you so much.
Okay, love you, Marty. Thanks.
All right. Yeah, Barry Bloom, MLB.com. Always a pleasure.